Amidst the chaos caused by Team Neo Rocket Galactic's attack in Mos Deep City, it appears that the super ancient water-type legendary Pokemon Kyogre has been agitated and awoken from a 15-year slumber, once again threatening to drown all of Hoenn if left unchecked. With the party separated at greater physical distances than ever before, how will the Quacko Packo save Hoenn, or perhaps even the world? The Quacko Packo have put everything they've got into disrupting this Neo Rocket Galactic operation in Mos Deep City. They came to Mos Deep under the recommendation of Kanto Champion Red in hopes of disrupting a suspected operation the following morning, but it appears that the Packo's actions have expedited the mission, with Red nowhere to be found. After stumbling across a suspicious trade deal between the Rite of Learning and Admin Semele of Neo Rocket Galactic, the Packo confronted and defeated a strange new NRG machination, an eldritch abomination of a mutated Malamar, triggered by a phrase uttered by Semele. The creature dealt significant damage to the Packo and kidnapped Elodie's first partner, Pokemon Cabbage, before it dissolved into a pile of black sludge, with the original Malamar laying dazed within. Now, Elodie is aboard a space shuttle hurtling into the atmosphere. Her whereabouts are not clearly known by the rest of the Packo, besides perhaps Gimli from his periphery nearby where the battle started outside of the Rite of Learning. Cindy is flying on the back of Fang the Salamence over the northern coast of Mos Deep after subjecting the launch pad, the NRG Zeppelins, and the space shuttle itself to incredible firepower. Schmidt has sent out Mewtwo, where the two of them and Quacko have teleported inside the space center with hopes of intercepting Cabbage, but it seems it is too late. Schmidt is facing down the notorious NRG admin Rada and his mighty steel rock type Aggron, which appears to only become more powerful and undergo more substantial modifications each time it has been encountered. Behind Schmidt, coming through a restricted area from within the space center, is a mysterious cloaked Mr. Mime that the Packo finds notably unusual and familiar. Meanwhile, the top of Shoal Cave, several miles to the north of Mos Deep, has been blown off by a powerful blue arcane force. Over in the wee hours of the morning, it is seen a massive blue leviathan creature hovering over the sea with a piscine body, gargantuan pectoral fins, and airplane-sized orbs of concentrated water energy circling its perimeter as it courses with indescribable power. A violent thunderstorm begins to swell over the remnants of Shoal Cave, and the ocean is visibly beginning to surge at drastic speeds. In a matter of minutes, this calamitous creature will descend upon the populace of Mos Deep. Gimli, Schmidt, and Cindy, what will you do? Cindy, you are up first.
Fuck.
I don't think it's an appropriate time to start doing that.
Yeah. Well, it depends on who you ask, maybe.
Roll for athletics?
Is this like true initiative where I only have like a little bit of action common in me, or is it a little more?
So while like, I wanted to dodge initiative for the more fluid roleplay, I kind of want to keep it here, as I said before we started, just to maintain the sense of timer, because I'm afraid that if we fall out of that, like there is things happening. So I do want to maintain initiative. I might be more lax than strict combat as far as the things you want to do and how long it takes. It may not strictly be two actions, or maybe it'll be one like really elaborate action, but we are still going to move turn by turn for now.
Okay. Cause I just know I have Cookie out currently and Larvastar. Mm-hmm. And I think for the sake of not having to make a lot more dex checks with Fang or strength checks with Fang, I want to return Cookie.
Sure.
And I think Larvastar, since we're not in like active combat.
Yeah, I'm not going to penalize you for making returns in this context. They're not going to provoke any attacks of opportunity. Cookie's already like right next to you, so that's no issue.
Yeah.
And
I can ask Larvastar to fly closer.
You can.
If needed.
Yeah, and also you are flying south, correct? So
I was. Yeah, just trying to get more towards the coast.
Okay, sure. We can say that with Fang's movement and Larvastar's movement, you can eventually get within that 30-foot range to do a recall with Larvastar's Pokeball. No problem. That's fine.
Okay. And how much does a super potion heal?
We have this in one of our channels, which I should probably be more specific. I think it's in Rules and Sheets. There it is. So it's 3d6 plus 6. If you want to heal as an action, you can get the full value. It'll take longer, or you can do the roll, and that will be a bonus action in quotes. A lot of these things that you've been doing are bonus actions, so it doesn't really matter if you do another one. But basically, if you want the full effect, I'm going to penalize your time a little bit, a nondescript amount.
Wait, so how much does it heal if I do it for like the full time? Super potion. 3d or
24.
3d plus 6.
Yeah, 24.
It says comma 50.
That's the price.
Oh, yep. Okay.
Jeez, 50 health's crazy.
My brain is pudding.
It is okay.
So 3d 6 plus 6
is 24.
But the full amount is okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I will take that.
Okay. And you're healing Fang, you said?
Yes.
Okay. Besides
what
Fang,
is all that plus 6?
Besides what, so bad at math. What is all what plus 6?
Fang's current HP is 6.
Oh. So he's going to hit, what, 32? Is that right? 30? Just 30.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's how math works.
Yes, it is.
Fabulous. I'll take it.
Yeah, it helps. And so Fang is Cindy's only current active Pokemon, I believe, right?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Just for the record, who else do you have on you besides Cookie and Larvastar? You should have three more.
Trubbish, who doesn't count. Mm-hmm. Trubbish is fainted because of the stinky, stinky. We have Soli and Jack, I think.
That checks out. That lines up with my notes. You should, I mean, technically you could have one more because Trubbish isn't registered to you yet.
Oh, we just got that, didn't we?
Just got what? Yeah, at the Moss Deep Gym, you have unlocked 6 party slots.
So that would be everybody, right? At Basket included.
Yeah. Do you have 6 Pokemon?
Soli.
You have Izzy, right?
Oh, Izzy. Yeah. Izzy's so in I the guess box. That's choose... what it is. Okay. I have Basket.
You have Basket. That lines up. Okay, cool. So yeah, Cindy has recalled her Pokemon. It's just her and Fang flying south back towards Moss Deep alongside TMF on his Corviknight.
I'm going to tell him my parents did this.
Just straight up, you're going to let him know?
Just be like, my parents did this. And just like no other context.
He's going to make a roll to see if he believes you. And he does. He gives kind of a solemn nod and expresses that that is unfortunate. Do you know how to stop this calamity?
The last time it happened was before I was born.
Well, let's get back to shore and we'll figure this out together. Now would be a good time if you want to throw in any flavor, if you want to do any checks, you want to kind of scout out what's going on down below. It seems, based on what you and Gimli can see on the ground, the onslaught of the energy grunts and their Pokemon has paused temporarily as everyone is like reacting to the crazy shit that's happening at Shoal Cave. It seems like the aggression of energy is temporarily halted.
I think if possible, I'll just like kind of ready myself to attack the Pokemon on the other side of the wall if needed. Mm-hmm. I'm not even saying holding an action, just like be in a position that is more conducive to that.
Sure, you can totally do that. I guess my question then becomes, would you like to land or remain airborne?
Remain airborne.
Okay, very good. Yeah, you have enough movement on this turn to kind of position yourself in such a way where this wall that Gimli has constructed with Trevor's powers that was learned, taught from the Draconids, this stone wall, on one side of it is like the Rite of Learning and the rest of the town, and on the other side of it is a surge of NRG Pokemon and perhaps a couple residences as well. They've been trying to break through the wall or scale it, but it seems that, again, at this point, the grunts have kind of stopped in their tracks, and you are positioned to attack if necessary.
Sounds good.
Do you want to make any sort of skill check or prepare anything else, or are you pretty cozy with where you're at?
I'm absolutely terrified for what we might be getting into, but okay. Yeah.
As far as this turn,
all I can do right now.
Okay, that is valid and fair. That brings us to Gimli. You are, again, kind of in the same spot you've always been, just outside the Rite of Learning. There is an unconscious Semele on the ground close nearby with a pool of blood, not huge, but a significant pool of blood under her head as she lays prone. You saw some action involving, out of your periphery, you saw Elodie interact with the strange masked person who helped you out on Cycling Road. Elodie disappeared, caused the Alakazam appeared, restrained this individual, and then they both disappeared. What is Gimli doing?
So not much I could do with that information. Besides, I already explained it to Tate and Liza. I'm going to ask Tate and Liza if they mind taking Semele, the unconscious Semele, to the authorities while I go to the cave to see what the hell's going on.
Sure. Yeah, you can ask that of them. Tate and Liza will consider what you said, and Tate will say, this looks like to be the super ancient Pokemon that we encountered about 15 years ago. If this is capable of what it did last time, or even more, I strongly would not recommend you going out to the sea. Additionally, Liza chirps in and says, we've actually been preparing for this moment for 15 years. We have a mechanism to protect the city, but we're going to have to go into the gym to activate it. We don't have time to take care of Semele, so unfortunately, you'll have to ask someone else to do that. But it looks like you have a lot of friends. And if Gimli looks around, he sees quite a few allies. He sees Archie, Maxie, Steven Stone, Delaney, and Brandon, the Duford cops.
The cops Jimmy. Are here. Okay. I didn't realize they were all here. So
yeah, they're all nearby.
Now I feel silly. Well, now I feel silly. Police. Will you take this criminal into authorities and I'll go with Tate and Liza to the big mechanism? Because that sounds awesome.
Sure. Give me a pretty easy persuasion check. Not because they need to be persuaded, but because they're still a little stunned. And I want to see if you can rouse them charismatically to return to their life as cops and not as bystanders of a disaster.
Yeah. 13?
13. Yeah, that's good enough. I was looking for 10. Yeah, Delaney and Brandon, the Duford cops, they give like a, they kind of shake their heads like out of, you know, recalibrating themselves, and they look at Gimli and they give a nod and they say, right away. And Delaney actually handcuffs the unconscious Emily, and Brandon hoists her up, and they just carry her just southwards, just out of here. Probably not off the island at this point, but just somewhere where she can be detained is the goal here. What else? What else for Gimli?
I mean, we got to go to the gym. We got to activate this mechanism.
Yeah. It seems like Tate and Liza, they would express to you that they feel like they have it under control. Like they're the only ones who need to be there, but you're welcome to join along if you wish. And they express that it would be safer if like you were there as well.
Okay, then yeah, I should go.
Okay.
There's no reason not to.
As you are exiting, give me a good old perception.
Of course. 24.
24, that's exceptional. There's a couple different things you'd be looking out for here. One, while Elodie is missing, you do see just a little ways to the south, a little ways to the east, Keylime, the Iron Valiant, standing with the blade withdrawn, seemingly no armaments out, none of its cyber weaponry, and it's just staring up at the shuttle, and its head is gently bobbing back as it watches the rocket ascend into the atmosphere. Additionally, you see a strange, flitting, like small, almost rectangular piece of paper floating in the wind. Would you like to take any action towards either two of these things that you see?
Yeah, I'll go for the piece of paper.
Okay, that's going to be a DC 12 sleight of hand to grab it, as the wind is picking up quite considerably.
Ooh, yay. I was like, my dex is bad, so this is good. 17.
17, you did it. You don't necessarily know what the source of this was, but you can take a quick glance. If you want any more information, you're going to have to roll a proper investigation. But you can tell that it is a photograph akin to a Polaroid. It displays a couple figures, and it is torn on one side. That is all you can tell.
Okay.
Anything else before following Tate and Liza into the gym?
I think I've done enough actions to continue.
Okay. You grab the little photograph, you pocket it, and you run back inside the Mossdeep City gym with Tate and Liza. They immediately identify like a door that wasn't visible in the entrance that you, when you were challenging the gym, that you didn't notice. It takes them back to like, I can't think of a better word right now, like a green room, like an area where like people can just kind of hang out. And they open another door that has a passcode on it. Each one of them takes turns pressing a number. It's like beep, 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 Tate and Liza on the door, and it swings open, and you enter like a meditation chamber. It is very tranquil and peaceful, and there is a strange like cylindrical device sitting like in the middle of the room, and there's two like meditating pillows on either side of it. Tate cracks his knuckles, and Liza takes her hair down, and they sit down on either side of the pillow, and they take a deep breath, and they say, Gimli, this is going to be really hard on us. Do you think you can protect us and you can protect the gym while we're taking care of this?
Yeah.
Okay. Tate and Liza look at each other for a final time, give a solid nod, and they hold hands in the middle of the cylinder, and they close their eyes, and they begin to meditate. As they do so, the room begins to light up in a brilliant pink glow, and you can look at like your clothing and your hands and the items around the room, which includes like candles and like an incense machine, and everything just begins to turn pink. Just a brilliant kind of psychic-y pink. They're powering up some sort of machinery, but who knows what exactly it is at this point. Any final flavor for Gimli?
Nope.
Okay. Schmidt, it is your turn. You are inside the Mos Deep Space Center. You are confronted by Rada, one of the admins of Neo Rocket Galactic, seemingly a powerful one, who has just issued a defacing statement to you that you are responsible for the death of Giovanni, the former leader of Team Rocket. He gives a look of familiarity to Mewtwo, and he has an Aggron that is looking all revved up and ready to go. Its armor plating seems distinctly different than before. It has strange, like, symbols, perhaps even runes carved into the metal, and it seems just really just cragged and serrated around many parts. The horns have a distinct edge to them that seems unusual, unnatural for an Aggron, and he's threatening you. What do you do?
Schmidt, after watching the rocket take off, is gonna look at Rada and be like, "Oh, I'm sorry, wrong door, my bad." And he's gonna teleport back out of the building.
Fantastic. Sure. As you're whirring around to teleport, give me an insight just for fun.
An insight for fun. I don't know how much fun these insights are. Natural one.
Okay.
As I say that.
Sure, yeah. I can't particularly give you anything from this. I will just let you know that Mewtwo is a very powerful Pokemon, and basically there's not many things that can disrupt your attempt to escape. That being said, as you turn around, a couple things happen as right before you teleport out. Is that the mysterious mime figure you can see kind of like waving his hands around, like as if he's gesturing something, to no avail. Nothing seems to happen, and Mewtwo teleports Schmidt and Quacko back out. Are you returning to your previous location in Mos Deep?
Yes.
Okay. That will not be
the game plan, if the DM allows. Schmidt wants to do like a full retreat if he can.
Okay.
Like get out of there, recall all the Pokemon he can, because Schmidt has like five motherfuckers out right now.
Sure.
And that's just full retreat and try to regroup with everyone else.
Okay, that's a solid plan. NRG, besides Rada, is not going to attempt to inhibit you, and you have teleported too fast for Rada to react. You teleport back into like the crossroads, kind of central Mos Deep, where this initial fight started taking place, and it is you are actually right next to Iron Valiant, Key Lime, Elodie's Pokemon that seemingly is not with her.
Oh, shit.
So... could you... yeah, so you're, like, right at the crossroads. You're by the scenic white rock. There's, like, a large white boulder that is resting by the hillside. That seems to be a tourist attraction. The puddle of black goo and Malamar is resting just up the hill a little bit. And there's a horde of energy grunts and their Pokemon who are not paying any attention to you. You said you want to recall all of your Pokemon. Would you list them and what you remember of their locations?
I had told Walter the Dunsparce to burrow underground.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'd imagine, I don't know, maybe just for flavor, Schmidt has, like, a little signal where he, like, kicks his heel on the ground a certain way, and that signals to Walter where he's at.
Sure, I like that. That's cool flavor. Then, what else?
Diana the Gyarados is just right there as well.
Yes, Diana's very close by.
I remember they were, like, asleep or something, or, yeah.
Yeah, she got
put to sleep like,
by Shenotic, yeah.
Okay, I'm returning Diana.
Okay.
I think we'd also had potentially Patricia out. Am I remembering that correctly?
I don't remember.
Okay.
Honestly.
And maybe that's just it.
Okay. So two, maybe three Pokemon?
Yeah, it should just be Schmidt, Quacko, and Mewtwo now.
Okay, and you want to keep Mewtwo out?
The end goal, yeah.
Okay. Since that is a limited number of Pokemon, I will not require any checks from you to make that happen. You are able to return Walter the Dunsparce as he burrows out of the ground, and understanding that Schmidt has returned back to the general area where Walter was burrowed. And Diana, who is having a snooze kind of outside the Space Center, is able to be returned without issue. What else for Schmidt?
Just kind of look out and identify, I guess, like maybe Steven Stone, or I guess Tate and Liza had already walked out to the gym. Just try to identify like somebody who's in charge.
Sure.
Be like, okay, hey, I have info on there's some fuckers in this building, and also what's the next game plan.
Okay, great. At this moment in time, you see Gimli coordinating with Tate and Liza, and it seems that they're heading to the gym. You also see Brandon and Delaney, the cops from Dewford, grab Semele, and they're taking her somewhere where she can't be an issue. The only allies who are still standing around, still engaged in combat, are Archie, Maxie, and Steven Stone. And it seems like Archie and Maxie are having a hushed conversation.
am I on like limited turn economy in this?
Somewhat, but we're gonna vibe it out. What if you want to do it, I'll let you do it. What are you trying to do?
I just want to teleport in the middle of them, in the middle of their hushed conversation, and be like, hey, what's up?
Sure. Mewtwo is one of the best teleporters in the world, so this can be done without issue. I will ask Schmidt to roll, I don't know, you intentionally want to disrupt them?
Yeah.
I guess, give me just a base charisma.
We are low rolling today. That is a 9.
Okay, yeah. You have Mewtwo teleport. Is it just you, or is it Mewtwo and Quacko as well?
Mewtwo, Quacko, Schmidt, the whole party.
Okay, just roughly 20 feet to the northwest to where this conversation is taking place between Archie and Maxie. And with your low charisma roll, they don't even stop their conversation. You hardly get any acknowledgement at all. You don't catch the entirety of what they were speaking of, but you know they just left off with Maxie talking about the super ancient Pokemon and how this is a resurgence of the worst thing that's ever happened to them, but also the thing that's brought them together. There's a fire in Archie's eyes, maybe a fire that he's adopted from Maxie, but he, right as you teleport over into the conversation, Archie says, "Keel haul it all. I've gone my whole life trying to get this dang fish come out of the sea. Now, while I don't want it to flood the planet anymore, what I do want is to wrestle that fish, Maxie, and you're not going to stop me." Maxie has apparently failed his attempt to stop Archie from wrestling the fish. Do you have anything that you want to say to Archie to convince him not to wrestle the fish?
Hey, I think it's going to be a bad idea to wrestle the fish.
You are welcome to roll persuasion. It's going to be quite hard. This is his whole life's ambition reflooding.
That's a 5.
5. Archie doesn't care. He grabs Schmidt on the shoulder and he says, "Schmidt, I like you, my boy. You're a good kid, but sometimes when you become a man, there's just things you just gotta do." And Archie simultaneously summons Sharpedo back to him, who is out engaging in combat, and he sends out 5 more Pokemon all at once. He just throws all of his balls in the air. There's a large blue walrus Pokemon with a great white mane. There's a giant, like, enormous, like, incredibly large blue whale Pokemon that just appears in Mos Deep City, seemingly disrupting the inhabitants because it just, the flash that creates it is so disturbing. There is a relatively medium, small-sized catfish that spawns from one of the Pokeballs. There is a terrifying, fairly large jellyfish Pokemon with sinister eyes. And additionally, there is a strange blue eel-like Pokemon with bioluminescent scales that is glowing in the night. They're all hovering, floating around Archie. Archie looks at them all in the eyes and raises a fist, and he jumps on the back of Sharpedo, and they all charge out to the ocean if no one is going to stop them. Maxie looks visibly concerned, but he understands that there's probably nothing that he can do in this moment. Do you have anything that you say or do in this moment, Schmidt?
Do we have, like, visual on Kyogre?
Perhaps. The creature that has not yet been truly identified, but you can probably deduce at this point, is Kyogre or some form of Kyogre, is several miles to the north.
Could I, like, general investigation this creature?
Yes.
Try to see if I can tell what's going on with it.
Yes, I might give you different. I know you're proficient in investigation. You might get different info if you also do Arcana or Religion. Also,
okay.
I could let you do 2 rolls, I guess, but you have to declare which one comes first.
Let's do investigation.
Okay,
it's a 14.
Okay, that's solid. I guess I'll describe that for you first then. Based on your adventures, based on your travels, this is a Pokemon that you understand is significant to the Hoenn people. You specifically know this and recognize this not only from various works of art and scrolls that you identified in the Draconid Village in Meteor Falls, but additionally within the chambers of Granite Cave, this little tourist area that had a mural on it that you spent some time investigating and later discovered that Gimli was deep in the cave somehow above the mural. That's where his place of residence was within Granite Cave when you found him. So you recognize this creature to be the super ancient Pokemon featured on the mural, Kyogre. However, it doesn't exactly resemble the Kyogre that was present on the mural itself, as well as the other things that you've heard about it. It seems that its abilities have somewhat been enhanced in a way that it seems fully out of control.
Got it. Do I see any sort of device or anything jammed into the Kyogre? I'm a few miles away, but yeah.
It is not possible to tell. You will either have to get closer or Kyogre will have to get closer.
I kind of want to go with Archie and go wrestle the fish.
That is up to you. It is a role-playing game.
Would that be a foolish thing to do?
Who are you asking?
I've wrestled many Pokemon. Two thumbs up.
As a wrestling man myself, I think this is very bug.
All right, chat says yes. Let's do it.
Let's go, chat.
Okay. As you go, Maxi knows that he has no control over his partner, but he will just tug on Schmidt real quick, and he says, are you sure you want to do this? This creature is incredibly dangerous. I saw it for myself 15 years ago, and it seems that it has entered a crazed state where it is perhaps more dangerous and more uncontrollable. Is this something that you truly want to be doing?
I don't really have anything cool to say. Schmidt's just going to be like, yeah, and then like kind of slot his hand off. And
that's perfect. Yeah, of course. Okay. Yeah, what is your means of getting closer to the big fish?
How is Archie getting there? Is he just riding on his Pokemon, or?
Yeah, they're kind of following him in like a convoy, kind of. But he's on the back of Sharpedo, and Sharpedo is coursing through the water. The Pokemon that's trailing behind the most is Wailord, just because it's massive and incredibly light, and it's kind of just gradually floating. It's fighting against the wind. It's clear that it wants to get in the water as soon as it can, but it's still currently floating over Moss Deep. All the other Pokemon are either fully in the water or getting real close.
Okay. Could we teleport on top of Wailord?
Yeah.
And ride Wailord into battle?
You sure can. This will be the last teleport of this initiative because Mewtwo is powerful, but there is a time limit on turns. He will teleport Schmidt and Quacko, I'm guessing?
Yep.
Okay. On the back of a big ol' whale. This is slightly problematic as the whale is slick and blubbery and quite large, and there is nowhere to hold on to. I will ask for a progressively increasing dexterity check to stay on the back of Wailord, starting right now with just a DC 8, please.
I got an 11 on the die.
You are fine. Okay. At this time, the storm is not so bad in the area where you are at, where you are in danger of falling off of Wailord. Wailord is the slowest of Archie's Pokemon heading to the sea. Anything else for Schmidt?
I think that's good.
Okay. Now we are going to do everyone else's turn. Anyone who may be paying attention, or I'll just describe it to you for the general just acquiescence of the situation. Anyone who would be looking would notice that all the NRG grunts are beginning to retreat. They are not staying around. They are beginning to recall their Pokemon, and they're rushing over to the last two remaining blimps. One of them has already left. It has teleported away, blinked out in the last time we were playing. Two other blimps, ladders drop, people are rushing up with the wind starting to pick up, and everyone is getting on. Rada has left the Space Center, and he and Aggron are shouting at the recruits, telling them to get on board and that they have to hurry. This is all taking place in like the south eastern corner of the island, just south of the Space Center, kind of right by Mr. Mimosa's, is where all the grunts are beginning to abandon. One of the blimps is beginning to withdraw its ladder and is beginning to glow a purplish pink color, and the other one still has plenty of grunts getting on board. Additionally, a mysterious pink wall of light begins to appear right under Wailord as Schmidt is careening over to the sea over Moss Deep City. The source of it is unknown, and just like a shimmering pink wall is beginning to rise and go up, not only over this coast, but if you turned around and looked over every coast of Moss Deep City, there is a wall that is rising. Additionally, Iron Valiant continues to stare at the rocket. As it does, there just a couple miles up in the sky, it hasn't left the atmosphere yet, there is a big old explosion right at the source of the rocket. It seems like it was not intended to happen, as there was great combustion coming out of this vessel right now. In a moment, one of the boosters, the left booster on the shuttle, just explodes. It seems that the rocket still has velocity, is continuing to ascend, and it is likely to break the atmosphere. But rather than a booster dropping into the sea peacefully, as it usually does when its fuel is depleted, this booster did not finish depleting all of its fuel before it was removed, and has such created an explosion. The shuttle is still continuing, as I said, but it seems that it has lost a good chunk of fuel, perhaps a cause for concern. I believe That is all will happen on the environmental turn. You will also see, like, all the tourists and stuff peeking out from, like, the hotel windows and people staying outside their homes who are just in shock and awe and can't believe what they're seeing. Some older folks are, like, shaking their heads in disbelief that they are seeing something that perhaps they saw 15 years ago. There's generally just quite a bit of panic and not a lot of people striving to help out. Speaking of someone who knows what they're seeing, Stephen Stone is incredibly concerned, and he hops on Metagross and gets right up to, like, where Schmidt is on the back of Wailord, right up to the wall. And then he stops and thinks for a second. He looks at the beast in the distance, and he looks back at Mos Deep City, and he decides to stay put. He's going to stay hovering on Metagross right at the border of the city, but he will not leave the boundaries. That will be all for initiative. I'm kind of tempted to drop it. I want to leave. No, we'll do one more round. One more round. I think that's appropriate. Cindy, it's back to you.
Am I within, like, earshot of Schmidt and Archie?
With a good perception check, I'll give it to you. I think I need a
14. Well, I'm not. I guess I'm not trying to hear them. I'm trying to yell to them.
Oh, well, then you can just try and yell to them and see what happens.
I just want to be like, my parents, look out for my parents. Like, keep an eye out for them.
Okay.
Because they're involved. I'm sure, I mean, Archie knows that. He was the one who was like, they were there.
Yeah.
But.
Sure. Yeah. You can, this can be conveyed, maybe not to Archie because he is in like a somewhat of a rage of destiny or something. Mm-hmm. But Schmidt can, if he wants to hear this, he certainly can.
Okay.
Thumbs up from the whale.
Schmidt's like the like whale's
giving me a thumbs up.
Yeah, sure. Wailord's giving you a thumbs up.
Let's go, Wailord.
Let's go, Wailord. Cindy, you see a pink barrier emerging around the island, and it seems that it's forcing you into a decision. Just like as Stephen Stone has contemplated, TMF will also have to decide, but it seems that if you stay airborne, you will need to decide if you're going to be within the boundaries of this pink wall or outside of the boundaries of this pink wall.
I think I'm going to stay within it. Maybe I'll get closer to, like, Stephen Stone, like, fly closer to him since he's already, like, flying, doing his thing.
Sure. Yeah, so you'll just get close to Stephen Stone. Stephen wants to stay inside, too, so you'll hover over next to Metagross. Salamence and Metagross, what a Hoenn sight to see with their trainers on their backs. Steven gives you a nod of acknowledgement, but doesn't necessarily see anything, say anything. It seems that he is deep in thought. What else are you doing?
I'm just going to tell everybody. My parents did this. I'm going to tell Steven. I'm going to point to Kyogre and be like, my parents did this.
This interrupts Steven's train of thought, and he asks, well, who are your parents?
River and Beckett, formerly Aqua, now NRG.
He shakes his head and he says, this still seems like an Aqua ambition. I don't know if you've noticed, but all the energy grunts are retreating. It seems that this wasn't on their agenda.
Yeah. They were never good at it.
Steven lets out a sigh and he says, well, hopefully their lack of competence means good fortune for us. I'm going to stay behind and protect the town, and we'll have to just wait and see what happens.
What's going to happen? Or what could happen?
Steven will reflect on the events that occurred 15 years ago. He will say, in the Hoenn region, several times throughout history, but also 15 years ago, perhaps before you were born, there was a great calamity that befell the Hoenn region that we dubbed the return of the super ancient Pokemon. These two Pokemon are Groudon and Kyogre, always quarreling in ancient history with each other over the creation of the land and creation of the sea. I'll spare you all the details because it seems like we won't have too much time, but without Groudon to combat this creature, I'm worried that it will enter a state of uncontrollable rage and threaten Hoenn the same way that it did 15 years ago, which is the threat to flood the continent. So we will have to stay put and do our best to prevent that from happening.
Tick. Love that.
Steven will note at the end of his little monologue is that this Kyogre appears different from the Kyogre seen 15 years ago. It has some sort of enhanced ability, enhanced powers that don't necessarily seem supernatural, but they just seem to indicate greater power.
Could be the water plate.
Do you say that out loud?
Sure.
Steven is going to make a roll. Steven does pretty well. Steven says, I had the same thought. I noticed strange undercurrents, strange rumors circulating Hoenn regarding the plates of Arceus. And if this would seem, according to my studies, to be related to such phenomenon, if not even specifically the phenomenon itself.
Okay, chat. Above table? Below table?
Depends on where you want to be.
Do we trust Stephen Stone?
Yeah,
do Stephen I whip Stone. Out the Atlas Stone?
Yeah, it's Stephen Stone.
Okay.
It'd he just wild. Likes rocks.
It'd be a wild twist, yeah.
Right, it would be, but he just likes rocks.
So I have a plate VCR, if you will.
Is that how you describe it?
Yes.
Okay. Stephen has no idea what that means.
I take it out, as I'm taking it out of my bag, I'm telling him, if you try to take this from me, I will punch you in the face. I did it to Red, and I will do it again.
Cindy has a thing for punching champions, I guess. Stephen says, well, in the interest of courtesy, may I see it?
Yes.
Okay. Do you hand it over to him?
Yes.
Okay. He inspects it carefully. In fact, he even pulls out like a small little tool, like almost like a mini telescope, like a magnifying glass, but made for one little tiny pixel point. It's a little funny because in the meantime, just miles to the north, there is like a roaring behemoth and there's thunderclaps, and it's like a true disaster that is about to befall Moss Deep. But he's just looking at this rock. It gives it a good examination. He's very familiar with rocks, and he says, yes, in Sinnoh, there are legends of an artifact such as this, of approximately this age, that it has the ability to not only detect and locate, but also store the powers of the Arceus plates. Is that what this artifact is?
Yes.
He says, wow, that's incredible. Legends say that if one is able to gather the powers of all the Arceus plates, they will know limitless power.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, we don't have that many. We have, what, 3? 4?
Are you asking yourself?
We have fire, we have grass, we have rock. I think that's it.
Yeah, Steven is amazed that you all have even one, that it just seems like an astronomical impossibility. And he asks, well, child, do you think that there's any way that this can somehow stop this rampaging super ancient Pokemon?
If we can get the plate, we could put it in here. I don't know if the Atlas Stone itself can stop it. Is the Atlas Stone doing anything to Kyogre being so close, popping
sure.
off?
Roll an investigation or an arcana or a religion.
9.
It is certainly illuminating blue. There are little like gemstones inlaid in the corners, and they are giving off a lush kind of royal blue glow. And that is generally like the gemstones that are further towards the top end of the Atlas Stone are glowing more than the ones that are lower. It's almost as if it is dousing an important artifact, and it is doing so by blinking and glowing. This will be the extent of your conversation with Stephen for now, but I'm willing to give you any more checks or any other things that you want to do.
If he lets me, I'll take it back and put it away.
He will, in fact, let you. And he will pocket his funny little mini telescope that he used to
inspect. I was ready to punch him.
Yeah, it seems that this individual may be more trusting in this moment than the other champion was. Who knows? Anything else?
I think I'm good.
Okay. Atop their pseudo-legendary Pokemon, Cindy engages in a conversation with Steven, just at the northern rocky cliffs of Moss Deep City, as a pink wall raises above their heads and begins to fold inwards towards the city. Gimli, it's your turn. You are in this chamber, and Tate and Liza are seriously meditating. They're holding hands within a machine that is, like, encircling their hands, and there's a pink aura being generated. What are you doing?
They told me to protect the gym. I'm gonna send out, I think, probably Trevor and Lasagna and just protect the gym.
Okay.
set up around them.
Okay, so, like, within this room that you are in?
I think so. Maybe, like, I mean, if they're working in the chamber, then, I mean, I don't know if I should stay by them. Is there only one entrance?
Yes, to this gym. It is one of the smallest Pokemon gyms.
Okay. I guess I'll stay by them if there's only that main entrance.
Right? Okay.
And that's it. So.
Yeah. You went through set up two doors to get in here, basically. Just like the front door and then a side door and then one more door.
So yeah, I'll stand by the main door and ready to like mount the defense that we need to do.
Okay, so like this little like green room-esque area is what you're saying?
Yeah.
not the meditation chamber itself.
Yeah, just the green room, yeah.
Okay. You'll see that this little, like, area seems like there's lockers in here, too. Maybe this is where the gym trainers keep their stuff when, you know, they're coming in for work. There's no other people in here at the moment, and you set up with which Pokemon? Trevor and who else? Just Trevor?
Lasagna.
Trevor and Lasagna. They perch up. They're ready for action. You do notice, I won't make you roll because it's quite evident, that the ruby crystal on Lasagna the Crustle's back is pulsing and glowing in tandem with the pink energy that is emanating from Tate and Liza. It seems that there's some sort of synergy happening there.
Hmm.
Anything else for Gimli?
I can't do anything till the action happens. So.
Okay. Keeping it simple. Very good.
Keeping it simple.
Okay. At this time, for what you are currently doing, it does not appear that there is a threat. Who knows if that will change?
Okay.
Schmidt, what are you doing?
We're just riding Waylord.
Okay. You're just you're schmoving. You're trying to get over closer to the monster. Roll me an investigation.
I don't think I've rolled above a 10 today.
Mm-hmm.
That would be an 11.
Okay. Not great, but fine. You will detect that Waylord is moving towards this monster, and the monster is also moving towards you. You can also tell with your investigation that before Waylord can like drop its body into the sea properly, the sea actually starts to rise up to meet it. And if you turn around, you would see that the sea is beginning to like ricochet off of this pink wall that is rising around the barrier of Mos Deep City. The sea levels are rising rapidly, and the monster is moving towards you. Those are the two things that you gather from your investigation. Archie is charging ahead. Sharpedo is braving the sea incredibly fast. It seems it has the same fury in its eyes that Archie has. And his other Pokemon are following fairly close behind. Some of them are faster than others. Waylord still being the slowest. Any other checks that you want to make?
I just want to keep investigating the Kyogre.
Yeah.
Because everything I've known about, like, energy shit of, like, giving enhanced powers has always been some sort of device on it.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to keep looking at it and see if I can find a device or, like, a point of where this excess power is coming from. What's causing this?
Sure. I will... I already had you roll an investigation, but that was on me. I will ask for either a DC 16 investigation or a DC 10 Arcana.
I don't think it matters because I rolled a natural one.
Okay. Unfortunately, it is really far away and it's really big and it's hard to tell specifically what's going on. Additionally, as the sea level is rising, the weather is also getting worse and is starting to more than drizzle. It is starting to properly rain. Waylord's back is getting slick. I'm going to need you on behalf of not just you, but also Mewtwo and Quacko to roll a dexterity save of 11.
Does Mewtwo not just float there?
Yeah, he can kind of just float. It's mostly for Schmidt.
Okay. On the die, not counting dex modifiers, I rolled a 19, a 20, and a 10.
Where have those rolls been? Oh, no.
Dog, would I pull those out? Yeah, for this.
Yeah, I just wanted one roll for the record. But that is fine. You can just take the 19 because that was your first one, and that's good. So Schmidt is able to hang on the slick, blubbery back of Waylord as its body descends into the water and it picks up a little bit of speed. It's still very large and still very light for its size, but it is able to swim faster than it can float. Sharpedo is certainly trudging ahead the fastest. It is dashing at perhaps about almost 100 feet per 6 seconds. There is a riptide behind it that is forming. Whiscash, Tentacruel, Huntail, they all do pretty well to make good time. Walrein is going as fast as it can, and it's freezing a path beneath its tusks that it is sliding on. Still not as fast as Sharpedo, but it's catching up with the other Pokemon. And Waylord is trudging behind. The weather's getting serious. You feel like in a few seconds you're going to be subject to not just heavy rain, but a proper storm. Anything else for Schmidt?
Nope.
Okay. This would be LD's turn in initiative, but LD is not here. This brings us to what I'm going to dub for now, maybe the final turn of initiative, but that may not last long. Everyone else is doing things. Maxie is going to start walking over just calmly over towards Cindy and Steven, just because that's where people he's familiar with are. Delaney and Brandon have left the area. Archie's doing Archie things. Gimli's in the gym with Tate and Eliza. NRG... At this point, they're almost fully funneled in to their vessels. The first vessel that filled up quicker gives a blink and it vanishes. It is gone. It had turned its nose to face the, to the south, and it just simply blinked out of existence. There's one Zeppelin remaining that is still loading crew on. It seems that Rada is waiting for the rest of the NRG grunts to board before he gets on himself, or he has some other plan. Who knows what it is? NRG is making their escape. The civilians are crowding inside buildings. Most of them, some of them are spectating. And at this point, the wall grows around Mos Deep to the point where you can see that it is forming a dome or a bubble. There's a psychic force field that is being generated from within the gym that is seeming to protect. If the wall weren't currently here, it is certain that the rocky cliffs to the north of Mos Deep City would be fully underwater, and water would be spreading into the residential area in the lower elevation. The water is certainly above sea level at this point, but it is not breaching Mos Deep because of this barrier. Am I neglecting to describe anything else? I don't think so. Although I did want to just do a gentle GM reminder, not required. Gimli, did you want to look at the photograph?
I did, yes.
Okay, I will give you that now. Probably investigation. You will always get details, but the amount of details you get will be based on your role.
I don't have any investigation. Minus one, 17.
17 is great. You see a torn family portrait. It is seems like it is partially damaged. Maybe it is well-loved. It came from a kind of an older model of camera. You see a woman who is looking maybe a little tired, but also a little proud, holding a baby girl. And they are kind of standing in a way that like someone's taking their photo. And on the torn side, you see someone else's hands also holding this woman from behind, presumably a mother, and also holding this child. And that is the details that you get from this. Maybe you got a 17.
I did.
The woman's hairstyle is distinctly Sinoan, especially from about 20 or so years ago. You remember it well. It has a funny look. It's like it's hair that's worn down, and then it is kind of tri-pointed, like one in the front and then two on each shoulder, where it kind of settles, and it is gelled in a way that makes it seem like firm or solid, which is popular in Sinnoh because of all the, like, the mining and the metallurgy and that kind of stuff. It's a distinct-looking hairstyle. Additionally, with your quick glance, you can see the spinny tail of a Sinnohan Pokemon, a Glammeow. You don't know if this is from an actual Glammeow or if this is from like a plush. It's like a cat Pokemon with like a double helix tail. Those are the details you get from your 17. I guess the only other creature or person to talk about is Iron Valiant, which, if anyone is looking, still has a sense of stoicness. Is that the word? Stoicity? I don't know what the word is. It seems relatively emotionless, but it did kind of jump at the explosion as it was watching the rocket, and is still kind of transfixed on the rocket and just staring, even though it is miles away now, and in any matter of moments, it will break the atmosphere of the planet. I guess I'm willing to at least temporarily break initiative here, just to kind of see if you guys want to shout out like what you're trying to do, what's going on. Does anyone have anything that's on their mind that they wanted to discuss or ask or make a check for?
My game plan is to, like, I'm using the Wailord being the slowest one to my advantage. I just want to keep checking the Kyogre until I see something. Like, I can identify some sort of point of, like, something I could pry out of this motherfucker.
Okay, give me another Arcana, DC 10.
Natural 20.
Natural 20, you crit it.
Let's fucking go.
Because of your crit Arcana, I will give you a fully in-depth visualization here. Schmidt has encountered a number of altered creatures in his journeys. Some of them, like Toidle, like Diana, seem to have been like artificially manipulated to like be exaggerated in a way that is like painful or uncomfortable, or, you know, it seems to leave them worse off. Mewtwo told you stories of experimentation on him using properties such as this, and that it was very much like damaging and unpleasant. Schmidt has also come in contact with other Pokemon who have enhanced abilities, but it's just not the same nature. It's not the same way. These include Soli, the Camerupt from Mount Chimney, Roger the Regirock. Basically, all the Pokemon and Pumpkin, additionally, their enhancements are different. Like, yes, they are panicked sometimes, like in Pumpkin's case, didn't know what was going on. But in other cases, it's like their powers are enhanced, but they're not in a way that perhaps they can't control them, but not in a way that is damaging. Of these two methods that you've seen, and more distinctly from the former method, this Malamar that you've just battled seems to have been enhanced insanely in a way that was very disturbing. This Kyogre is leaning much closer to the natural, much closer to like the aspect manipulation in such a way that when you saw Roger the Regirock, Pumpkin, and Alpha Soli, they did not have any machinations forcing them to implement this change other than the plate itself. That is your determination with your natural 20 that Kyogre is only being influenced by the plate itself.
Okay. Am I still too far away to make a check to see if I can visually see the plate and where it is, or
you will need to actively move closer, either encourage Wailord to move faster, or you'll have to wait one more turn.
I think we'll wait it out.
Okay, continue to wait it out. I guess at this point, please make a DC 15 dexterity save for the storm on Wailord's back.
And this is Schmidt making the check.
Yes,
dirty 22.
Okay, Schmidt manages to stay on as Wailord is gradually moving closer and Kyogre is gradually moving closer. He is properly in like a heavy storm. Lightning is beginning to crack and is striking into the sea, dispersing enough not to particularly damage Wailord. But if one lightning bolt goes awry, he may in fact get electrocuted. We will have to see. Anything else you want to do at this moment before I hop around?
Nope. Okay. I'm good.
Gimli, Cindy, any thoughts?
I mean, unfortunately, I just am where I am right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in a new position of holding it down.
Sure. Yeah. Like, very good. You are mm-hmm. welcome to remain doing that. You have the option of like moving about and like checking the perimeter and stuff if you want, or you can just post up in the building. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I think it's better for me to post up.
Okay. You will do that. Cindy. You're in conversation. What's going on?
I'm stuck in this bubble too now.
The like bubble the is city. About to close. If you wanted to make a dash to escape it, now you would have to do it. Okay.
I feel like my conversation with Stephen Stone kind of pretty much wrapped up.
Okay.
So I think I want to check on Key Lime. Just like check in, make sure Key Lime's okay.
Sure. Yeah. Go over there. Roll me a Pokemon handling.
So I'm notoriously great at these. 11.
11. 11's okay. 11 is sufficient in this instance. Nothing amazing. But right as the top of the bubble, the pink psychic bubble that closes over Mossdeep City to protect it, closes at the top. Key Lime's attention unfocuses from the rocket, and it looks at you. This mechanical kind of hybrid Gallade Gardevoir Pokemon, very robotic, has digital eyes, faces Cindy as if it is awaiting an instruction.
You good, buddy?
Roll an insight.
That's a 5.
There is no emotion detectable from this creature. Almost seems like a statue.
Well, if you need anything, you let me know, okay?
No response, just staring into Cindy's eyes. Finger guns?
Finger gun.
Very good. Just a charisma on that.
It's gonna mind hurt me because I'm bad at this. Charisma. Oh, my charisma's plus 3. 11.
Iron Valiant will not mind hurt you. Iron Valiant will simply stare at you, making no effort to make any sort of movement or do anything in particular.
Cool. Okay. Good chat. Good talk.
Anything else that Cindy wants to do?
Not that I can think of.
Okay. Gonna let time progress a little bit here. From the other side of the barrier, it's semi-translucent. It's not fully opaque. You can see that along the northern wall of Mossdeep City, the sea level has risen to the point where it would eclipse most buildings. Hold maybe the space center as the sea level just rises around Mossdeep City, around this bubble. If you peer inside, you can see panicked fish Pokemon swimming at eye level and even above as the bubble fully encircles Mossdeep City at this point. Additionally, the final energy vessel has blinked away, and it seems that the energy presence, to your knowledge, is fully gone. Steven and Maxie are having a conversation, and after a moment, Steven dismounts Metagross, recalls it, and they begin to move towards the gym. I would like to check in with Schmidt here, because at this point he is getting pretty close to the monster. The ocean is getting rough. He feels himself rising on Wailord, like as if he was on an elevator because of how the sea is rising. It is quite disturbing. He sees closer to Kyogre just giant whirlpools forming under it as it floats in the air above the sea, and vortexes of just like water energy are circling its body in orbs, just creating like a spherical dot matrix of armor around it, of just pure aquatic energy. If you'd like to make an investigation check to look for any anomalies, you're welcome to do so. I'm looking for a 17.
I swear to fucking God, dude, I got another natural one.
Oh, no. Schmidt's looking around, and as he's kind of purveying the Kyogre, trying to see if he can identify anything in particular going on with the monster, one of these orbs that surrounds the perimeter of Kyogre kind of like identifies Schmidt and shoots just like a needle, like stream of water just from 100 feet away, just right at Schmidt's forehead. And Schmidt will have to make a con save, DC 12.
15.
That will pass. He will take 5 points of water damage as he has been subject to a miniature origin pulse right to his forehead.
What the fuck?
If he looks at these other orbs, he can tell that they are just indiscriminately firing jets of water in just about every direction, pulsing as if in alignment with the breaths of this Leviathan. You will have to wait to get closer. Now make a DC 16 dex save on the back of the Wailord.
17.
You managed to hold on, but it's getting quite slippery. Thankfully, this creature is so large, it like if you started to slip, it'd probably take a while to slide off, but it's still something to keep in mind. Mewtwo is just kind of staring at this beast, thinking thoughts clearly, but not speaking with you telepathically. Doesn't really have anything to say, just having thoughts. Archie is now pretty much in range of the monster. He's been zooming ahead on Sharpedo. You can hear him shouting in the distance way far ahead of you. You can't make out any particular words, but he is certainly screaming. He dives underwater, and you can't see where he is. And then a few seconds later, Sharpedo completely like flies out of the sea, soaring like a torpedo into the air. And Archie is standing on either of its pectoral fins with his hands outstretched as if he's going to grab onto the monster. Let's see if he actually succeeds.
My God.
His first attempt will not succeed. He will jump off of Sharpedo and grab towards the monster, and his left hand will make contact with it, and his nails will dig into the fin, and the creature will let out just a magnificent roar, just truly earth-trembling roar, and it just gently, really gently flicks its fin, and Archie falls. Thankfully, hopefully, yes. Tentacruel will arrive right at the landing where Archie will collide with the water, and its soft jelly body, followed by an immediate descent into the sea, will protect Archie from any serious damage. Sharpedo is going to whirl around over to Tentacruel, and they're going to give it another go. Anything else for Schmidt?
Nope, unless I can make another check.
Sure, make another check.
We're still investigating to find this anomaly, right?
Something, yeah, if you want to. Or, you can flavor it otherwise, but that's probably your best skill.
14.
From where you are positioned, you do not see any indication of like a plate or where it could be based on your role. You do observe, too, that, well, yeah, roll me history.
I'm proficient. I got a 19 on the die, so it's going to be like 30, 27 or something.
Okay. You, for better or for worse, have observed that when you encounter Pokemon who are under the influence of the plate, and they are, like, naturally, basically every Pokemon that hasn't been Soli, which is the only trainer-owned alpha form that you've seen, the plate has been visible. It's been somewhere. It's been, like, accessible. On Pumpkin, the Victory Bell, it held it and pried it out of the wall and kind of hoisted it in its vines. On the Camerupt and Mount Chimney, it was embedded in one of its humps. In Regirock, in Roger, it was embedded in its high shoulder. Right. So you have the feeling that unless this Kyogre is trainer owned somehow, then it should be somewhere. But it is such a massive creature and you're still so far away. It might be hard to find. Anything else?
For the time being, no.
OK. Cindy, did you have anything in particular you wanted to do here?
I don't know what I can do. I'm in a bubble.
OK. Maxie.
Oh, I could be a chaos gremlin.
You could. What do you want to do?
Is Calvin's mom out and about?
Roll a perception.
Just let her know her date's postponed. Perception 18.
You do not see Calvin's mom out and about, but you remember and you know from what you've seen that she likely evacuated into the very hotel that you've been staying at, the Seaside Resort. Mm. She's probably in there. You, with that 18, you find yourself next to like a middle-aged woman who you don't recognize, who is standing next to you. She's wearing like a particularly heavy coat, which is a little odd. She is facing to the south and she's not speaking to you, but she kind of just speaks out loud. She says, "That's fucking stupid. NRG, like Rocket Galactic put together." And then she turns. She says, "Is that what that means?"
Yeah, NRG is Neo Rocket Galactic. It's pretty dumb.
She shakes her head and she says, "That's the stupidest shit I've ever heard. Well, kid, how are we going to get out of this mess?"
"I don't know, man."
She lets out a sigh and she says, "Well, seems like that old man wants to talk to you. You should go give him your attention." And she points and you can see that Maxie is like summoning you with like a come here gesture. He's right by the gym.
Oh, he's saying, "Here, kitty, kitty." We love that. "Hi, hello."
Do you run up to him?
Yeah. I think I imagine that I'm still on Salamence. We're just like closer to the ground.
That's pretty funny. Okay, sure. Yeah, we can say you're still
in
flying
my
around.
Swimsuit.
Yeah, you'll leave the parked woman over here just to let her gawk at how silly the name of the organization is. And you'll go over to Maxie and Steven. They give you kind of like a nod and they hold open the gym doors for you. Will you enter?
I guess, sure.
Have Fane make a dex check, DC 13.
That's a 17 on the die.
Okay. He is smart enough to like tuck in his wings and squeeze through the door. So you can stay riding on Fane if you want.
Hell yeah. Oh, yeah, he can land. He could just, like, walk, and yeah. I can continue to be riding.
Yeah, that's he could do that. And Steven and Maxie enter. They quickly kind of turn the corner, and they will identify Gimli. Gimli, you are now involved with Cindy in this situation. Do you see a Salamence, Cindy, Maxie, and Steven Stone enter? You are defending Tate and Eliza. Do you do or say anything?
There's apparently a device in here that Tate and Liza are activating, so I'm protecting them.
Steven says, "Yes, when I was champion, I authorized the production of this, so I understand what this device is." Gimli, Cindy, there is something that we, being Maxie and I, wanted to discuss with you that is of utmost importance.
Okay.
Okay.
What is it?
You will all gather around Maxie and Steven, and they will take turns telling you some information. Maxie says, "Probably while we're having this conversation, Mos Deep City, functionally without the bubble, is fully submerged in the sea." And Steven gives a nod. He says, "Yes, we are in a very desperate situation. When this occurred 15 years ago, we also additionally had the powers of another super ancient Pokemon, Groudon. Groudon's whereabouts in this moment are unknown, and that's not of importance to us. What is of importance to us is perhaps the one super ancient Pokemon who can possibly save us from this predicament without all of Hoenn drowning. Do you have any idea what I'm talking about?"
Rayquaza!
Yeah.
Maxie and
that one.
Maxie and Steven will give a nod and they'll say, "Yes, the Emerald Serpent, Rayquaza. 15 years ago, when Groudon and Kyogre were quarreling, the only resolution we found was on May's own brilliance. Champion May took it upon herself to identify, locate the location of Rayquaza and request that it come and end the quarreling, which it did successfully. In this situation, and knowing the past, the history of Hoenn, we are not confident that there's any other means to end this calamity. We're open to ideas, though." And Maxie says, "If you have any thoughts, if you have any ideas, we'd love to hear them. But based on Hoenn's history, we are not feeling confident."
So we have a Rayquaza guy. He's on the whale horde.
Rayquaza guy.
All right, Maxie and Steven will kind of give each other a shocked glance and they'll say, like, on Archie's whale horde?
Yeah, Schmidt. Yeah, one, he's like the lore keeper for the Draconids, like the summoner of Rayquaza, you know, the whole nine.
Steven gets visibly excited. He's like, "Oh, yes, this is exactly what we need. This is perfect." And Maxie is seemingly like increasingly disappointed. He says, "Yes, Schmidt's a great kid. We were talking at Mr. Mimosa's. I trust him a lot. But if he's already out there, I don't know how we can possibly convey this information to him. And we might need to find another way. I don't know if this is even possible. Who knows if he'll even survive?" And you can see that his eyes are getting a little glassy and he's a little worried because his loved one is also doing the very same thing, but maybe more recklessly.
How far can, like, a psychic connection be? We got lasagna. who is psychic. Can Lasagna, like, communicate to Mewtwo to tell Schmidt what we have? Can we use psychic Pokemon as walkie-talkies?
Are you asking me, or are you asking this council of Steven, Gimli, and Maxie?
I guess I'm asking the council. Like, I'm going through it exactly like that, just out loud. Like, if we could tell Lasagna to tell Mewtwo to tell Schmidt, maybe this could work.
Steven says, I'm not particularly acquainted with psychic types that aren't Metagross or Lunatone or Solrock, but I've seen some of their abilities, and I imagine that such a thing would be possible, especially with as powerful a Pokemon as Mewtwo. Did you say that Schmidt has a Mewtwo? And then Maxie gives
details.
Maxie gives like a correction. He says, the Mewtwo, as far as we know, there's only one. And Steven says, oh, right, hence the number in the name. Got it. And Maxie says, I suppose it's possible, but I don't have great hopes, especially considering the psychic barrier may be somewhat of a deterrent to psychic energy, but we'd have to ask Tate and Liza, and unfortunately they're busy.
Is Gothitelle psychic? Mm-hmm. How much would our cop friend who has a Gothitelle know?
You may have to ask her.
Okay. I'll relay this. I'm like, we know somebody with a psychic Pokemon that may or may not be able to help us. Who knows something about psychic Pokemon.
Maxie and Steven will give a nod and they say, well, do whatever needs to be done. Steven will say, based on the construction of this machine that the Hoenn government authorized for Tate and Liza, we can probably stay protected here for about a day, but any more than that, Tate and Liza's mental abilities are going to begin to suffer, and eventually, if we don't do anything about it, Mos Deep and most of Hoenn will become underwater. So we hope that you are able to determine a solution pretty quickly.
Is there any way we can just attempt, like, hey, Lasagna, can you find Mewtwo psychologically, telepathically?
I
think Mewtwo's returned right now, but...
Mewtwo's out.
Okay.
Out and about. Do you ask this of Lasagna? Do you ask this of Gimli to ask Lasagna? What is the chain of command here?
Towards both of them, but like kind of waiting for Gimli to give the okay to Lasagna to try it, because it's still his Pokemon.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. What exactly do you say to Lasagna then?
If you can tell Mewtwo to tell Schmidt, tell him that we need to summon Rayquaza.
Okay, roll a Pokemon handling. Yeah.
+6 is 15.
Okay. Lasagna the Crustle stares at you with like those ridiculous stalk eyes that portray no emotion other than just complete dumbfoundedness and confusion. That being said, the ruby crystal that is on Crustle's back does like kind of glow with a sense of recognition. Gimli, please roll an intelligence check with proficiency for Lasagna. If he has like an arcana proficiency or something, he might... you can add that in there.
17?
17 is great. Crustle will continue to look at Gimli and Cindy with just an expression of complete no brain, and will send a psychic message out from its shell, which will, with your intelligence of 17, will in fact succeed in pinging Mewtwo. Schmidt, Mewtwo will turn to face you on the back of Wailord as he is floating, and he will say telepathically, I have received a message.
Oh, I love mail.
Mewtwo says, this comes from the Crustle, the strange Crustle under the ownership of your partner Gimli.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I didn't get a full message, as I've never known a Crustle to be particularly intelligent or good at telepathy, but I do have this. It says, Schmidt, Rayquaza, summon. What do you know of this?
Okay. Like,
This is probably a spam mail, honestly. I think we can ignore it.
Mewtwo gives a nod and will telepathically say, very well, let's continue. And may as well get closer to the monster then. You're welcome to reroll that investigation if you like.
Yes. Is there any way I could like have Mewtwo help like psychically search the monster? Is that a thing that it can do?
Sure. He can... We'll just for simplicity say that he can like help you do it and you can have an advantage.
Okay. That gives me an 18.
Okay. That's pretty good. You're getting pretty close. You're getting perhaps dangerously close. You, with your 18, can pretty fully see this monster's like full front half. And as far as you can tell from its belly up all the way until like its mouth and its pectoral fins, at least on the underside of them, you do not see any evidence of an embedded plate. If you wish to gaze upon the rest of the creature, you may have to physically move around to see it. That being said, shit's getting crazy out here. Wailord is getting pretty close to a whirlpool that is spinning around, and it's going to have to make a dex save. I'll let Schmidt roll it. Wailord has plus zero to dex, so just give me a dex save. I'm looking for 13 or higher.
Nice. I got a 19.
Okay. Wailord is able to kind of stabilize itself through the whirlpool, but shit's getting crazy. Lightning is striking all over the place. In the meantime, I will ask Gimli to make an insight.
Nine.
You have no idea if the psychic message worked or not, just because the expression on Lasagna is so...
He's like, oh.
He's like, oh. You just, there's no thought there, despite the fact that he is a pretty intelligent creature.
Yeah, how are you so smart and so stupid? I love you.
Delightful. Maximilian and Steven will kind of just like check and like, did you do it? Did it work?
I have no way to know.
Steven and Maxie will give each other kind of a nod and say, well, I guess now we wait. There's nothing we can do unless we wanted to escape the bubble. And Maxie says, at this point, we're probably fully submerged. I'm not brave enough to look out the window right now, though. And they're just going to sit in this little kind of foyer green room area in the gym and just wait it out for now until they can get a better idea of what to do.
Can I look out the window?
Sure.
Are we underwater?
You are fully underwater at this point. You can still see the surface at the top of the bubble, but it's also become like eerily dark in Mos Deep. A number of buildings have lost electricity. A few of them still do, which gives you the sensation that perhaps they're on a generator or something. Like the larger buildings, like the Pokemon Center, the Space Center, surprisingly, and like some of the hotels and stuff, they have lights on still. But you are in a bubble in the sea, basically. Not a great look. Anything else from Gimli or Cindy before I have Archie do things?
No.
Okay.
No.
Archie's going to give it another roll. This is his life's dream, is to wrestle that fish. Even though he found love, and even though he swore that he knew it would be the worst thing for Hoenn to summon Kyogre, he didn't do it this time. This isn't his responsibility. Kyogre has been presented to him, and he will wrestle the fish. He's going to, once again, dive deep underwater with Sharpedo, and Sharpedo's going to launch itself out of the sea, throwing Archie into the monster. He's going to make a dex check, and this time he does well. He does well enough, in fact, to latch on above the pectoral fin on the left side and just kind of like dig his nails in, and now he is on the back of the monster. As Sharpedo is falling, it's going to be subjected to an origin pulse from multiple of these floating spheres, actually, making a con save. It passes, which is great, and it takes a undisclosed amount of damage, but it does get kind of like battered and blasted as pew, 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 like three or four lasers fire from these orbs that surround this creature and just smack into Sharpedo. And every time one hits, it gets pushed like 5 or 10 feet in the air as it's falling back into the sea in the direction of where the laser came from. These seem to pack a pretty powerful punch. Sharpedo is not knocked out, but it does gently fall back into the water because Tentacruel catches it on its jelly head. Wailord is going to continue moving through, and I will ask Schmidt to roll a d12, please.
Just a d12?
Just a d12.
I got an 11.
Okay. There is a mighty lightning bolt that strikes probably 25 feet or so out to the west of Wailord. There are many lightning bolts striking all over the place, but this one is the most alarmingly close one so far. You can see that it immediately electrocutes the water around it, but because this is the ocean, it dissipates pretty quickly. But these lightning bolts seem pretty powerful, and if you were struck by one, it might really suck.
It's time to flank the Kyogre.
Okay. What is your means of doing
search
so?
Search the backside. Teleport, baby.
Okay. So you're going to teleport onto it?
How rough is the situation, like, around and behind it? Like, obviously, there's all these little orbs and twisters and shit going on.
Yeah, it's equally bad, if not worse, just because, like, the wake of the storm it's creating, this primordial storm, is, like, it's gradually creating storm situations in the areas in front of it, right? But all the areas behind it are already, like, totally fucked. So you're going to be entering, like, a pseudo-hurricane, like a typhoon, to go behind or above it.
Okay. I think that's our only option, though, is we got to get in there and get the shit out.
Okay. You're going to teleport for it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to teleport like slightly above the Kyogre, just so I have like a range to like see and make a check of where this plate is.
Okay. Above on like its back or above on its front? Like the front or the rear?
It's back.
Okay.
Like back. The rear, yeah.
This is a challenging environment for Mewtwo, even though it is an incredibly strong psychic type. It will need to make a DC 13 intelligence save, please. Should not struggle, but there's a chance it may not succeed.
That's a dirty 20.
Is he going to take Quacko as well?
Yeah.
Okay. He's going to teleport himself, Schmidt, and Quacko up in the air behind Kyogre. It's probably about a 120-foot teleport. He's capable of doing these things, of course, but because of the situation, the storm situation, unless you escape his psychic grasp and fend for yourself on the back of Kyogre, he will have to continually make dex saves, and they will get progressively harder as he maintains the psychic link. But for now, Schmidt, Quacko, and Mewtwo are psychically, telekinetically hovering above and behind Kyogre, and the storm is roaring around and behind Schmidt. Did you want to make a check here?
Yes.
We will get to do so soon. I'm going to check in with Cindy and Gimli one more time. Delaney and Brandon will enter the gym, and Delaney will address Cindy, Gimli, Maxie, and Steven and say, "Holy moly, have you guys been outside? We're like fully underwater now. Thank God for this bubble."
Yeah, it's pretty spooky.
Yeah, it's been wet. Yep.
Full aquarium experience.
Full aquarium experience is crazy.
Brandon peeks in and recognizes Cindy and Gimli, and he says, "Oh, do you know where Elodie is?"
She's not with us.
Don't say it like that.
She's no longer with us. She's no longer here on this earth.
She's no longer on this plane.
Is that what you tell Brandon?
Oh my god, stop saying it like that.
Brandon's starting to get worried. He's like, "What? What do you mean? Is she okay? No,
she's in space."
Brandon says, "That doesn't mean she's okay. What do you mean?"
Well, we don't know beyond that. Obviously, she's in space, and we're not. But she's not dead, presumably.
He's in space? On the rocket I attacked?
Yeah, she's on the rocket. I don't know if you knew that.
I did not know that.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Brandon seems distraught, and he looks very sad. He says, "How is she ever going to get back?"
That can't be sure. But I presume that Energy had a plan to get back from space, so...
Yeah, they want to blow up the moon. Oh, yeah, we told them this. They know this story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Brandon says, "Oh, so the Jolt TikToks were true, huh? And Elodie decided that she'd be the hero and go take care of it for everyone." Can't believe it.
She's just trying to protect her cabbage, you know?
At the end of the day, we're all trying to protect our cabbage.
We're all just trying to protect our cabbage. Yeah.
Our cabbages.
Yeah.
Yeah, to protect our cabbages.
Yeah, so Brandon looks pretty distraught. Delaney is kind of like chatting. Traumatically is not the right word, but just like kind of in a lost hope vibe with Maxie and Steven. I think for the last time this session, I will ask Gimli, Cindy, is there anything you want to do?
I'll try to like console Brandon. Like, do you want a pet? My Salamence for emotional support. His name's Fang.
Yeah, roll a...
So funny.
Roll a charisma, please.
For me or for Fang?
For you.
Okay. 16.
Okay. Cindy, you ask Brandon if he wants to pet your emotional support Salamence. He's definitely a little watery-eyed, and he seems really stressed, and he thinks about it, and then he gives you a frowning nod, like he does want to. Do you allow him to do so?
Absolutely.
Okay. He does it. Initially, he gives like a stroke like you would for like a dog or something. And then he says, "Ooh, scales, they're a little hard." And then he does like a more timid touch. And he gives Salamence a pet. And maybe it's helping. Who knows? It's at least distracting him. That's for sure. Gimli, are you doing anything in particular?
No.
Very good. Schmidt, you are hovering above Kyogre. You can have Mewtwo give you advantage for another investigation if you really are hell-bent on trying to find this plate.
Yep.
Okay.
Dirty 26.
Okay, that's incredibly good. You see at this like spear-tipped dorsal fin on this Kyogre, there is, in fact, shrouded in like a watery force, like a bubble almost made out of like a rushing luminescent light blue water, what appears to be the size and shape of a so-called plate. It is flailing about on the back, because this is the tail of the monster. It is floating rapidly, and it seems like there's a great deal of energy coursing from here. In fact, Kyogre's body is lined with various, like, almost runic-looking markings that actually remind you of the Draconid's alphabet. It reminds you of their symbols and their characters that you are used to seeing in their writings and artwork. It surrounds Kyogre's body, and it seems it is pulsing with energy emanating specifically from this spot on its tail. What do you do?
Okay. It's like surrounded by water, right?
Yes, it's like a like bubble.
How big is the bubble?
It is roughly 50% larger than the plate itself, so not super big.
Not super big, okay. I guess nothing but do but teleport into that spot.
Okay. Do you...
And then...
Go on.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say, have Mewtwo drop the hold or whatever that he was holding up Quacko and Schmidt with, so he's not having to keep making that dex check.
Sure. Is Quacko also going to join Schmidt then?
Yep.
Okay. So
it's
you,
a family affair.
Okay. So you're going to hold on to the thrashing tail of Kyogre, just to be specific. That is what you're going for.
Yep.
Okay. He can drop the hold. And in the meantime, I will need a DC 19 dex save to hold on to the tail.
Oh. Uh-huh. I didn't make it.
Okay. What did you get?
4 on the die plus 5 is 9 plus dex is 3, so 12.
Okay. Mewtwo drops the psychic link on Schmidt and Quacko as he moves them over to above where the plate is. Schmidt latches onto Kyogre's tail and does not maintain his grasp as it thrashes about, and he begins to fall from roughly 60 feet in the air down towards the sea. Mewtwo will begin to float over to Schmidt in attempts to restrain him and prevent him from falling. In the meantime, Kyogre is now approximately over Mossdeep City. The sea has risen to such a point, and Kyogre is floating over the sea, where it is now above the bubble, and anyone looking up might be able to make out the outline against the moonlit sky. It is beginning to charge an attack down at Archie's Pokemon that are floating in the sea, chasing it. All 6 of them, in fact, as Archie continues to try and scale the monster. It is now Archie's turn to make a dex save. Archie misses it by 1 point. Oh no. Additionally, Archie gets thrown off of Kyogre as it builds up an attack. It charges blue arcane energy around its body, and it is focusing on all of Archie's 6 Pokemon, falling at the same time as Schmidt back into this enraged Hoenn ocean, and that is where we will end the session. Thank you so much for listening to Dunsparce and Drampa, especially to Stuart, our latest patron. Thanks to the support of our patrons, we can make this podcast possible. Speaking of, we have 2 big milestones I'd like to share. First, on Spotify, our most listened to platform, we've broken 1 million starts. That's 1 million different individual presses of the play button. If you're listening to this right now, you are one of those people, and thank you so very much for doing so. We really couldn't have gotten this far without all of your help. Thank you for believing in what we do. Our second milestone on one of our least listened to platforms being YouTube is that we recently broke 1,000 subscribers, which is pretty great for being a platform that hosts video and we do not have video. If you are one of the people who watches on YouTube, thank you so much for your support. As always, all of our links are on Linktree, linktr.ee/dunsparce. We'll see you for the next session on February 25th.